beginning to read from verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Let's look again at verse 3. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. When they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. There can come a time in our Christian experience that though we are born again of the Holy Spirit, that though our desire is to serve the Lord and be all out for him, yet it can be said of us that we have no wine. That we may say we have no wine. We want to be absolutely all right with the Lord. We want the fullness of the Lord. We are faithful to the Lord in reading the word. And yet, we have no wine. There's something that's lacking in our Christian experience. Now here they were at this wedding feast, and everything was there as it ought to be. The people had gathered there. It seems the bride and the groom were both there. Everything was in its place, and yet there was something missing from their experience, and that was that they had no wine. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Everything can be right in our Christian lives. We're reading the word. We're sound on doctrine. We want to be all out for the Lord. Here we can say there is some lack. I know there's something more in my that should be there in my spiritual experience. I know that I have experienced something more in the past of the fullness of the Lord. And I feel that just now I have no wine. I feel dry. I feel a lack of the fullness of the presence of God. I know all that the Lord has for me. I know all that he's promised for me. I know all that he has done for me in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know what he's done for me. And yet I can say today that I have no wine. There's some lack in my life. There's something missing. There's something lacking of the fullness of God. We have no wine. I may ask, what does it mean? What does this wine symbolize to us? Well, Psalm 104 says, describes wine, all that the Lord has given us, and it says, wine that maketh glad the heart of man. So we say that this thing in our spiritual life that we need, that ought to be there but sometimes isn't, is something that makes us glad, something that gives us joy. Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, speaks of us rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's the lot of the Christian. That is what God has given us. That should be our Christian experience from today, day to day. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. But sometimes we can say we have no wine. That thing that should be there in our Christian lives, that thing can be missing. We're lacking the joy. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, chapter 5, says, And be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That describes something of this wine being in us, when we're making melody unto the Lord, when we're rejoicing in Him, when we're singing, when our hearts are overflowing with the fullness of the Spirit, and we are rejoicing in the Lord and coming before Him with hearts just overflowing with joy and gladness. And yet, sometimes that's lacking in our spiritual experience. We can't see a particular reason for it. We are doing everything as we ought to do. We're meeting with the Lord in the morning and praying and reading the Word. We're meeting with the saints. And yet, somehow, that fullness that we know should be there, that fullness which we think perhaps once was there, perhaps when we were first born again, perhaps we can look back when we were first born again, and that joy and the fullness of the Lord that was then, sometimes that's no longer there. And as we just sang, where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus and His Word? And as we sometimes read the Word, I wonder if we just sense, well, I believe this, but is there just some lack in my experience as I read it? Should this not come more alive to me? Should it not be stirring my heart more? Should it not be doing more within my heart than it is currently? So I want to look this morning at the way the Lord Jesus gives wine and the way the Lord Jesus restores wine. When we have no wine, when we come before the Lord and say, I have no wine, how is it that the Lord restores to us that wine, restores to us that fullness of the Christian experience that perhaps once we had and perhaps even now we are lacking? So I want to begin by looking at the approach to the Lord Jesus. When they had no wine, what did they do? What was the approach to the Lord Jesus? And so we find, first of all, the response of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And it says, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. It was important to the dealing with the situation that Mary should come before the Lord and to admit the lack, to admit what was missing. And unless we are willing to come before the Lord ourselves and to admit the lack, we can never have the Lord deal with that and give us the new wine that we need. And very often we as Christians, we will say, well, I don't really have a lack. I'm all right. I'm ticking over. But the first thing that Mary did was to admit the situation. When they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Sometimes as we look around in the church nationally and even in the local assembly, the first thing to do to come to a place of revival, a place where the Lord is really moving amongst us, is to say, to admit the situation, to say there is something missing. There is something missing of the fullness of the presence of God that ought to be here. At times past, even in the assembly, we have known it. We have known God move in power. We've known the room to be full. We've known many to come to salvation. But today, we see a lack. And the first thing is that we must come before the Lord and say, we have no wine. There's something missing. There's something missing in me. There's something missing in my assembly. There's something missing that would mean, if it were there, that everything would be very different. And so the first thing is to admit that we have no wine. And the second thing that happens is that Mary comes to Jesus. So often when we find that we have a lack in our assemblies or our personal lives, we do something else. So often when we find a lack in our personal lives, we work harder. We try and minister more. We try and serve the Lord more. So much that we want to do. We try and pray more. And we find that it doesn't work. Sometimes in the local assembly, when we find there's a lack, we try and become more active or more right on doctrine or something. And whilst it's so good to be active and so good to be right on doctrine, yet this is not the solution to the problem when we have no wine. It's not the solution. And so we find that Mary when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him. And so Mary goes to Jesus. That's the first, and that's the next thing that we need to see. That when there is a lack in our personal life and when there's a lack in the local assembly, we need to see that the thing we do is to go to Jesus himself. To go to Jesus himself. And so she comes to him and she says, they have no wine. And when we pray to the Lord, sometimes we need to be a little bit more direct than we are. And we are so often dealing with peripheral issues and trying to talk around it as if the Lord doesn't know everything and the Lord doesn't know our situation. And sometimes if we would just come before the Lord and be frank and say, we have no wine, there's a lack here, we need something to change. Lord, will you come and meet our need? And sometimes a direct praying in the Spirit, when we really are straight with the Lord and meet with him, that is the prayer that is going to bring change. That's going to bring change in our personal life. It's going to bring change in the local assembly when we come to the Lord and just speak in reality with him and say, I have no wine. I have no wine. There's a lack here, Lord, and I need your help. I need you to come and meet my need. So Mary comes to him and says, they have no wine. Verse 4, Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. You may think this is a slightly brusque way of speaking to, as far as the flesh is concerned, to his mother. He says, woman, what have I to do with thee? We might think it sounds slightly rude, especially when we remember that we are commanded to honor our father and mother. So he says, woman, what have I to do with thee? Now I believe that the reason that he says that is because Mary has come to him in the wrong way. Now as far as the flesh is concerned, she is his mother, the mother of Jesus, and he is her son. And so she has come to him, asking him to do something. But I think where she has gone wrong is that she has come to him as his mother, approaching him as her son. And he is saying to her, when you approach me, you've got to approach me as God. This is who I am. I am God. And when you come to ask me something like this, this is in effect a prayer when she says, they have no wine. He says, you have to approach me as God. I am the eternal God. According to the flesh, yes, I have been of you, but I am the eternal God who has come down from heaven. So he says, woman, you are woman to me. I am God and you are woman. So woman, what have I to do? What is the connection between you and me? And she has approached him according to who she is and not according to who he is. We may remember on other occasions, we remember in Luke chapter 2 when the Lord Jesus is a boy, and he's been to Jerusalem with Joseph and Mary, and he's there on their way back, and after a day of traveling they realize he's not with them, and they go back to look for him, and after 3 days they find him in the temple talking and teaching, asking questions. And they've been obviously very worried. And Mary says, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And Jesus said, wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Mary had said, your father and I, and he says, my father is in heaven. Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? He's saying, I am God. I am the Son of God, and I am God incarnate. And on another occasion, you may remember that Jesus is teaching his disciples, and someone says, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. Jesus says, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciple and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. So the Lord Jesus is making clear that when his mother is to approach him, that she is to approach him as God. She can claim no ties of kinship
that will cause him to perform a miracle, no ties of kinship that will cause him to sort out the situation, no ties of kinship which will cause him to provide wine. But she's to approach him as God. And he says, mine hour is not yet come. And I believe in that. He's saying, I'm here for a purpose. I am God come down to earth for a purpose. And he's referring, obviously, to the cross. He's not referring to his hour to do miracles. Remember in John 17, he says, Father, mine hour is come. He's talking about the cross. And so he says, my hour is not yet come. He's saying, I have come down from heaven for a purpose. I am God here for a purpose. I've been born of you. I've been manifest in the flesh for a purpose. And so he's dealing with her approach. Sometimes as we approach the Lord, asking him to deal with a situation, when we say we have no wine in our personal lives in the local assembly, we may approach him because we're a Christian. We may approach him because we've been a believer a long time. We say, well, I've been walking with you all this time, Lord, and on that basis, I am going to come to you and ask for this. Lord, I know you. I'm asking for this solution to the problem. I'm asking you to provide me with new wine. I'm asking you to provide me with blessing in the local assembly because I have known you, or because of who we are. I'm a moral person, or because of who I am. Perhaps we may be some great character. But we know that our access to the Lord, to ask petition of him and requests of him, is only by the blood. It's only upon the merit of himself. It's because of who he is and not because of who we are. When we draw close to God, it's solely based upon him. It's solely based upon the mercy of God. It's solely based upon his blood shed for us. The writer to the Hebrews says that we have boldness to enter into the holiest. How? By the blood of Jesus, and only upon his merit. Daniel, in chapter 9 of that book, in that great prayer for revival, says that we beseech you not for our righteousnesses, but because of your mercy. Our access to God, our coming before him to meet our need, is entirely on the basis of who he is, entirely upon the basis of God's mercy, entirely on the basis of his blood shed for us. So we see that as we come before the Lord and admit our situation in our personal life, where we say, I've walked with you, I've known you in the past, but there's a lack in my life today. We come upon the basis of the shed blood. We come upon the basis of the mercy of God. When we're seeking him for blessing in the local assembly, when we see the need, when we say, Lord, do a new thing, again, we come to him, not anything that we are, but wholly upon his mercy, wholly accessing him by his shed blood. Hallelujah. And so that is the way that we are to come to God. To come to him, to have faith. And Mary had faith to believe that Jesus would answer her, that Jesus was willing, that Jesus was able to do something. And we have to be willing. We have to be believing that Jesus is willing to do something new in our own lives, willing to do something new in the local assembly. Sometimes we look at what's going on around us and we say, well, will things ever change? But as we come before the Lord, we have to be believing that Jesus is both able and willing to do something new in our lives, something new in the local assembly. And that was true of Mary. But so the fact that she came was right. But the Lord Jesus had to correct her approach and say, when you come to me, you come to me as God. I am God, and you come to me according to who I am, and not according to who you are. Then it says, verse 5, his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. This is, we've looked at the approach, and this is what's how we have to be before the Lord. Sometimes we want to do our own thing. As I said before, when we feel the lack, we want to do something. And sometimes we pray before the Lord and ask him to do something, and then we do something. And something in our own Christian lives, we minister more. And so often, that is our way. When we are dry, what do? But we work harder. They say, well, I'm going to try and evangelize more, and I'm going to do more, and I'm going to visit more, and I'm going to be more faithful. And in the local assembly, so often it's something that we're doing. We're going to organize something. We're going to plan something. We're going to sit down and have a business meeting and work out what we're going to do. But if the Lord is going to bring blessing, we've got to be obedient to him. The Lord isn't interested in our sacrifice in that way. When we have a lack, there's no sacrifice that we can make before the Lord that will bring the blessing back. No sacrifice we can make can bring that wine back into our own personal experience, the wine back into the assembly. However hard we work, whatever we do, however much we labor before the Lord, that isn't going to bring the blessing back into the assembly. That isn't going to bring the blessing back into our own spiritual lives. We'll become drier and drier as we burn ourselves out. Psalm 40 says, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Now, and it says, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. When it speaks about the opening of the ears, it speaks about the Hebrew slave. You may remember the law of a Hebrew slave. If he's been with his master for a period of time, he's given his freedom, and he can go out free. But if he says, I love my master, I love to serve him, I love to be with him, that's all I desire, then his master would take his ear and put the lobe against the door and bang a peg through it, opening up his ear, opening up a hole within his ear. And that was the sign of one who was simply going to be devoted, one who was simply going to be obedient to the Lord, to his Lord, to his master. And so here when the psalmist said, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. And if we are to know blessing, that is how it's got to be. Not the sacrifice that we make before the Lord, but simple obedience to him, simply laying our lives before him and say, Lord, have your way. Have your way in my life. Have your way in this assembly. We will be obedient to you. Lord, show us what you want to do, but come and bring the blessing. We may remember how Saul, when he was told to slay the Amalekites and not to keep back any of the cattle or the sheep, but as it happens, he does keep them back, and he says, well, I'm going to sacrifice them to the Lord. He disobeys the Lord. He says, I will keep back these sheep, but I will present them to the Lord. And Samuel says to him, have the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And so Mary says, it says, his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And that's the next thing that has to be crucial. If we are going to see the blessing of the Lord, if we are going to know that wine restored to our personal experience, that wine restored to the local assembly, it's crucial that it's not our ideas. It's not what we have thought up, but it's what the Lord has said to us. It's what he has chosen to do. The one who is sovereign, the one who will have his own way, the one whose counsel is perfect. He is the one who needs to direct the path. He is the one who needs to step in, and he is the one who's got to lead and guide and direct. And anything that we bring in is ultimately going to fail. Whatever good ideas we may have, it's going to fail. But it has to be the Lord who does it. It has to be the Lord who directs, the Lord who does it himself. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Now this is the situation. What is it that the Lord Jesus starts with when he's bringing the wine, when he is producing the wine for the people? Now, he doesn't start with nothing. He doesn't just create wine out of nothing. But it says that he said, fill the water pots with water. And so they bring water pots, six water pots filled with water. And this may describe us this morning. This may describe the situation we're in. It says there were water pots, six water pots filled with water. Now water speaks to us of the word of God. Ephesians 5 says, Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now, that may be us this morning, and we are filled with the word. Things are as they should be with us. We're filled with the word, and it's absolutely essential that that is the basis from which we start, that the word of God is there, that the word of God. Many people at the moment are seeking the wine without starting with the water, and that is a grave mistake. If we try and get the fullness of the joy of the presence of the Lord and do not start with the word, then it's not going to be properly of the Lord. And so he says, go and get six pots of water and draw it and bring it to the governor of the feast. So that may be our experience this morning. We say, I am seeking to walk with the Lord. I am filled with the word. I believe I'm sound on doctrine. I know the word. It sort of imbibes my life. As the psalmist said, I've got it hidden in my heart. And yet we still have this lack of the wine. We still say, and yet in my experience, there is still something missing. I know that God has something more for me. I know that there's something more. What is it that changes the water into wine? What is it that changes, brings you from the place where you know the word? What is it that brings you from the place where you are devoted to the Lord, where you're walking with him, where you're reading the word, and yet you have this lack, through to the place where you have the fullness of the presence of the Lord Jesus, the fullness of that joy, that heart that is overflowing with the Lord, that heart that is overflowing with blessing that knows the Lord, that fullness? How is it? Well, the thing here that changes it is the presence of Jesus. It's simply the presence of Jesus. It is him being there that has changed the water into wine. And we may be so filled with the word. We may be so hot on doctrine. We may be so ardent in our desire to serve the Lord. But until we have the presence of the Lord in his fullness, there will be no wine. And this is God's answer to us of how we turn the water of our experience into wine. It is only this. It is only this. It is only the presence of the Lord Jesus. It is only him coming in and meeting the need. It is only the Lord Jesus himself coming and changing. It is the water needed to be there. The water had to, he didn't, as I said, start with nothing. The water needs to be there. But it is Jesus and his presence which changes what is just a routine, what is just ordinary, what is just natural, into the place where it is new wine, where it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's the presence of himself. It's only Jesus. We may remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, how it says as they communed and reasoned together, Jesus himself drew near. Jesus himself drew near. It was him who came and drew alongside them. And he taught them out of the word. And afterwards, after he had gone, they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke to us in the way and as he expounded the scripture to us. What was the difference for them? What was it that made their hearts burn within them? What was it that changed their experience? It wasn't just the word, although the word was there. The Lord Jesus did expound scripture to them, but it wasn't just that. It was the presence of Jesus himself. It was him as he drew near. It was him himself. It was the Lord Jesus. As we read earlier in the passage in Exodus chapter 3, the people, the Lord said to Moses, you can go into the promised land. You can go in and have that experience that I've promised you. There's lots of good there. There's lots of blessing there. But he said, I'm not going to go with you. The angel is going to go with you, but I won't go with you. And Moses says, if you don't go with us, don't take us. He says, there's no point. There's no point in being there in the land flowing with milk and honey if you're not there. And God says, I will go with you. I will go with you. As we may be in this position this morning where we sense a lack in our own personal life, when we're perhaps in the position where we see a lack in the local assembly and say, I know there's more of the Lord. I know there's more of his power and more of his moving that is possible, more of his joy, more of his fullness. How do we respond? He says it's the presence of Jesus. It's him himself drawing near that changes everything. You see, we can be believers in the Lord Jesus. We can be born again of the Holy Spirit. We can be living our lives perfectly before him as far as we are able, having perfect hearts before him, seeking to do no sin, and yet we can lack the presence of the Lord Jesus in our personal lives and in the local assembly. We remember in Revelation chapter 3 that Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And that's to the church that he's speaking. And so often, as the people of God, as a church, as individuals, we see the lack and there are so many things that we do, but we don't go to the Lord Jesus and say, come and be amongst us. Come and be powerfully in our midst. Now we know the Lord Jesus said, when two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And yet we must remember that he said, together in my name. And sometimes we have just, in our hearts, we have closed the door to the Lord. We have not just been sensitive to him and said, come and be amongst us. We've labored, we've gone after so many other things. We've looked for blessing, we've looked for increased numbers, we've looked for greater evangelism, we've looked for greater work for God. And yet we haven't just looked for Jesus. We haven't just looked for him to come and be amongst us. That's all that he's desiring, that we should open up to him, that we should open up our hearts, that we should open up our assembly and allow him to come in and just to be amongst us and turn the water into wine. Amen. Shall we pray? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning. We thank you that you touch our hearts with it. We thank you that you are so gracious in moving amongst us by your Spirit. Lord, you are so good to us, and we acknowledge that you want only good for us, and you desire only to pour out your Spirit upon us. Lord Jesus, that you desire so much to present yourself amongst us, and we desire, our God, your presence amongst us. We desire so much that you would come and enter into the midst of your church again, Lord, that you would enter into the midst of the congregation, that your presence would be here in such power, that you would turn us again to yourself, Lord Jesus. We desire your presence, our God, amongst us. We thank you that you are willing to do this. Father, we pray that you would cause us to lose the taste for everything else, that we would no longer seek after anything else, but that we would seek only after your presence. Lord, that we would hunger and thirst after you, that we would desire that you should be amongst us. Oh, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we worship you. Oh, God, move amongst us again. As we're in the last days, Lord, we see the need. We see the need for your presence amongst your people, our God, and we call upon you again that you would do a new thing in our day, that you would revive your people. Lord, that you would cause your face to shine upon us once more, and Lord, that you would be pleased to enter into our midst, that you would come and present yourself amongst us, our God. We do worship you, our God. We bless you. We exalt you. But Lord, may we lay this burden upon us. Lord, that we should desire the fullness of your presence. Oh God, move amongst us. Stir within us a desire for the fullness of your presence, the fullness of that knowledge of you, as you deign to meet with us. Lord, bring blessing, we pray. In Jesus' name. Sing number four in Mission Praise. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. This is taken from that story of the disciples on the Emmaus Road, when they say to the Lord, abide with us, for the day is far spent. The day is far spent. And we can say that ourselves, that we need the Lord to abide with us. We're approaching his coming again. We're approaching the absolute end time. And we need to pray that the Lord would come and abide with us, that we would know the presence of Jesus in our meetings and in our lives. Amen. Number four.